A big thanks to this season's sponsor, Picaluna Beautiful Funerals, who are reinventing how we say goodbye to the people we love.
Because let's be real, being prepared for a death can feel like a really daunting task, but it's so important to understand your options. And Picaluna puts your choice front and centre through more personalised, compassionate and affordable funerals.
So start having the conversation today.
To Good Morning, the podcast talking all things grief with honesty and humour.
Welcome back to the Good Morning podcast.
We hope you are all doing okay, and we are excited that we are in person again. We're back in the media joint in Alexandria in our jazzy studio.
Loving life, an absolute glow up at the media joint. It's so nice to be in a studio, isn't it? And it's so nice to see your face.
So good to see your face. Your hair's getting long.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Long and natural. I feel like I look quite different to our podcast title, actually. We should probably update that.
So do I, actually. My hair's grown a fair bit since then. I do like that picture, though.
It is a good one. It is a good one. Yeah. I'm really excited to talk about today's topic, actually.
Tell me, Sal, what are we talking about?
So today we are talking about a topic that doesn't get enough airtime, and that is grief at work. You know, it's something that we hear a lot, isn't it, from our listeners about struggling with the transition of going back to work after a loss and grieving when you're on the job. And considering we spend like a third of our lives at work, I think how well you are supported at work can make a really big difference as to how you cope or don't cope with grief, don't you reckon?
That's a little bit depressing that we spend one third of our lives at work.
Yeah.
That is a huge amount of time. So it is so important to be, you know, to feel supported when you're going back. And we know, we've heard from our community, it can feel so daunting, you know, thinking about having to go back into the office. I know I definitely worried and stressed about how I would respond to it. And a few months ago, we actually put out a survey to our community just to find out your experiences with grief at work. I think we had something like 1,500 responses within 24 hours, didn't we? It was huge.
We did. And I think that shows that people just don't have an outlet to talk about this topic, and they really wanted to share their thoughts and feelings and feedback. And, you know, I think when it comes to coping with grief at work, we don't always have a lot of time off, do we, to process our loss. Like in Australia, I think it's about 3 or 4 days bereavement leave. And then it depends on the employer, doesn't it? Which can mean that it can be really tough. Quite often we've got to go back to work sooner than we're ready to. And yeah, it's grief doesn't go away, does it? Just because we've got to go to work, we're still in the thick of it. And I think some of the responses that we're going to be talking through in today's episode are really, really helpful. So hopefully if you're listening to this and you're coping with grief at work, or maybe you're an employer or you're managing somebody who is, then hopefully this has got some good insights.
Now, before we get full swing into this episode, if you have been enjoying Good Morning, there's just a few little ways that you can support us to continue to doing the work, to continue to do the work that we do. Gosh, I need a coffee. Please don't forget to hit subscribe or follow us wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss an episode. And if our podcast or book has supported you during this difficult time, it would mean so much if you could leave us a podcast or book review or rating, as it helps us reach more people who need us.
Yes, guys, it would mean so much if you could support Good Morning and our mission to normalize grief. Enough of us. Back to the responses from our community about grief at work. So, Im, what were some of the responses from the shout out that we did a couple of months ago?
They were not surprising. So 79% said they didn't have adequate time off to process their loss. So that's a big proportion of people who are at work while also trying to cope with grief and the enormity of it, right? And so we asked them, like, what are the biggest things you're struggling with the most when returning to work? And 87% felt anxious, and a huge number of people felt overwhelmed and exhausted. So those were the top three things people are struggling with. So anxiety, feeling overwhelmed and exhausted, which I'm sure you can all relate to.
And I think if you think about that in the, how many times can I say, in the context of work, trying to show up and be productive when you are feeling anxious, overwhelmed, and exhausted is near impossible.
It just makes you more anxious.
Yeah.
You know, trying to think, oh, I've got to get my shit together and turn up at this really important meeting or whatever it is you do for work. Like, for me, definitely worry about how I'm feeling and anticipate how I'm going to be feeling throughout the day. So it's really difficult.
And like, as we both know, and as our listeners know, grief is physically exhausting. Sometimes, no matter how much you want to will some energy,
yeah,
how much you want to do something, can put your energy into something, it feels like you're weighed down sometimes, right? And that can make it really hard if you've got to, you know, have an important meeting or just like concentrate or just show up with some like level of enthusiasm. It can be really, really depleting.
But like we've interviewed neurologist who explained to us, you know, what's happening to your brain. There's so many changes going on within your body and your mind. And in those early months, especially, or the first year, even the second year, like there's a lot of grief bombs happening. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure many of you listening can relate. You're either sitting at your desk or having, you know, a water cooler chat with someone and they ask you how your weekend was and it just triggers you, you know, and feeling at the back of your head like, oh no, I've got to keep it together, I'm at work. So we end up suppressing our feelings as well. And it's important to be able to have space where you can process those big emotions when they do show up. And when you're at work, that can feel near impossible.
And also grief brain, it's a real thing. The emotional stress of grief,
mm-hmm.
you know, it changes our brain, it rewires our brain, and that can impact cognitive function, you know, memory recall, concentration. So quite often people are sitting at their desk trying to get work done and it can feel like you're just in this fog.
Oh, mate, I remember literally like reading sentences probably about 20 times to try and absorb the information.
Yeah.
I just couldn't.
Yeah, it's like you just feel slow, right? Like it's just like you forget things. Everything feels like hard to comprehend, like little details that are normally really easy to spot or catch, you can just like out the window.
Yeah. And I think as well, what can also make it really difficult to go back to work is when people don't acknowledge the loss. And I'm sure we'll get into this with people's experiences, but grief is really isolating too. So when you have to go back to work and kind of pretend like you're fine and like everything's normal, that can feel really isolating because you're often feeling anything but that too. So another thing that came up in the survey was 90% of our community said they felt that their workplace needed more grief support training. It's a lot of people out there feeling like they don't have adequate grief support at work. So I think that really needs to change, people.
Amen. It does. That is a lot. So we asked some of our audience, we threw it out on Instagram as part of this survey, like what are the things that they struggled with when returning to work after a loss? And these are some of the things that people shared. So brain fog, completing tasks slower than usual and being triggered. Someone said, people being happy around me, lol.
What, they said lol or you were saying
they
lol?
They said lol.
Yeah, definite lol.
Someone said making decisions and confidence. Another one here said, I struggled with how normal everything was. And I think that's the thing, yes. Right? Like your world has changed and your world feels very different. You don't necessarily always feel like the person you were before your loss or the person you were at work before your loss. So I think you can feel like you're not normal anymore and your new normal is very different.
I definitely don't feel normal anymore.
Were you ever normal?
Probably not. It's a different kind of abnormal over here. No.
Another person says like they really struggled with anxiety and feeling like they didn't have it in them to do their job properly anymore. They had nightmares about their mum and they'd have to try and calm down and then get ready to go for work, which is super stressful.
We've got another one here. So someone said they struggled with having people say, where did you go? Why are you back? Was there no communication in this workplace?
Yeah, I remember actually one of our listeners, I think it was one of the stories in our book, shared her experience about going back to work after her mum died, and she said they threw her like a welcome back party.
Oh no.
Almost like she'd been traveling for a year, and it just felt a little bit tone deaf, and this kind of feels
just a bit
a bit tone deaf as well, you know?
Yes, definitely. Another person struggled with people's reactions. That's a big one. Someone said, not being able to get away or have time to myself as I'm faced with my job and have to act all day long. And then that's going back to suppressing, you know, what's really going on for you, right? And having to put on a brave face and a bit of a facade to show up to work, which is draining.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we do have to put on a brave face, right? If we're in a public facing role or at a senior management level when we're managing people. But that's where self-care comes in. It's really important, isn't it, to make sure you are giving yourself the time to process and look after yourself, because it's draining grieving, and then it's super draining having to pretend you're fine.
Yeah. Another community member wrote in and said, 7 days after my dad died suddenly, I returned to work. I remember being on Zoom calls and a wave of grief would come over me and I would have to go off camera to cry. Those moments were hard. I also struggled with my coworkers not acknowledging what had happened, especially other executives, males specifically, and interacting with me as though I was the same person, which I wasn't.
I mean, grief bombs are bloody difficult at the best of time, but a grief bomb when you're on a corporate Zoom, that would be difficult.
Thank God for Zoom though. Imagine in real life, which I'm sure happens.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'd love to know. Has any of our listeners had a grief bomb in a meeting? Probably, right?
Absolutely.
Got to like run out and, you know, save face, have a sob. But
well, I had a grief bomb in that training session we did. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, gotta go. Run out the door.
We had a few Zoom grief bombs, actually.
We did. Grief sessions. They turned into grief sessions.
Yeah.
We'd have like Zoom meetings and then, I don't know, you just ask the right question and the floodgates would open.
But it's just me and you, so it's not too bad. But yeah, feel for this.
It was a good crowd for it, but yeah.
So some other people have said some of the things that their company could have done differently include providing options for working from home some days, asking what they needed, and also the company educating themselves on grief and how it impacts people. Another person here said regular and structured check-ins from a manager or their HR department. Another person said they feel like their company could have offered more time off paid without having to use annual leave. She said she felt they used it against her a little bit, and a client made a complaint and said, and she was told that maybe it's because you're grieving and you're not thinking straight, which feels
a
bit not quite right. But
no. And what's the average bereavement leave in Australia? It's only a couple of days, isn't it? Few days.
Yeah, I think it's like 3 days, I want to say. That's Don't quote so me on it, wild. But it's around that mark, yeah.
Wow. Like 3 days in, you are on the floor. Yeah. Like,
and I remember when we did this survey, we asked people how many days they had off. Mm. And I think some people had like a couple of months, but some people had like 1 or 2 days. I think the average from memory was about a week or two. But still, if you think about that, like that's not a lot of time, is it?
Absolutely
2 weeks,
not.
Like from someone dying and all this shit and dead men that we have to do. And then the like the emotional, you know,
but
stress.
Then being thrown back into an environment that don't have the tools to support you. You know, there's people there that probably don't know much about grief or what to do and say. So it's just going to compound how you're feeling. It's quite dangerous, like putting people in those situations.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot comprehend 1 or 2 days.
No.
Like that being like,
no,
that to me feels shocking. Knowing the magnitude of grief and knowing how
it impacts you in all levels,
all consuming, how difficult it is mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, spiritually, it blows my mind that some people listening to this will have had that experience. And yeah, I hope that can change.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll get off my soapbox now.
And look, we don't want to sit here and bag out every employer, because there are so many good ones out there as well. So some people said that they had this support that was helpful, which is wonderful to hear. So we're going to read out some of the positive messages that came through. So someone said, I had a place when I needed to step away and take breaths. They were there to step in and not ask questions. So much grace was given, no expectations, self-led role, slow reintegration. I need to go back to school. Slow reintegration. I love these. These are amazing. And it's so important, like if you are, you know, if you're in a position, a management position, or if you're in HR and you're listening to this, like get out a notepad and pen and take some notes because there's some brilliant ones here.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say not every employer is terrible. Like some employers are amazing. So I think it's good that we're showing both sides of the experience. Like some people have a really positive experience and that's fantastic and we need more of those out there. Mm-hmm. Somebody here said, my leave was flexible, but the best thing was mainly my boss. He was so supportive of my decisions and he never made me feel less for my feelings. He also recognised that I might have really hard days and gave me flexibility to manage those and just take time off whenever I needed. And I think that's really important, isn't it? Acknowledging, if you can, that you understand how grief impacts people and that there are going to be days when you're okay and there are going to be days when you really struggle and you feel really griefy. And I think having that compassion and a bit of a plan in place and that and having some flexibility is incredible. Somebody else here said, my principal checked in on me regularly, reminded me work would still be there and to take care of myself. I think that's another thing. People can worry if they're grieving or they're seen to be showing emotions or maybe weakness in terms of not stepping up to the plate.
Yeah.
They worry about their job security, right?
Absolutely.
And I think having that reassurance can be really important.
Someone here said, I had one manager who was very understanding and allowed me time off when I was struggling, both after my sister's suicide and while being there for my mum and my dad as my dad declined with dementia. Someone else said, honest conversations, being able to take a day when needed, reduced workload to support my mental health has all been really helpful. And last one here, no one pushed me to do anything. I could work from home if I felt like it. I could leave early. I could join or reject meetings depending on what I felt. Everyone treated me first like a human and then as an employee.
I love that. And that's really important, isn't it, to take note of?
Yeah.
Human. Like, we are human. We have big emotions. We carry them with us. We can't always leave them at the door. Grief doesn't go away just because we've stepped into the workplace. So acknowledging that we are going to be feeling certain ways. We are going to be struggling with our emotions when we are trying to work as well. I think that can just alleviate some of the pressure as well to feel like you've got to mask or you've got to kind of keep calm and carry on, to know that it's okay to bring your griefy self to work.
And if you are listening to this and thinking, I have not had any of that support at work and this is making you feel worse, we really hope that this episode helps you too. Like, you're not alone. We're going to share some community experiences soon that they've sent in by voice note. And also, this is where self-care comes in. And it's really important to know how we can look after ourselves during these times and also learn to advocate for ourselves too when we're in a situation in a workplace where people aren't giving us the support we need. We also need to learn to speak up and advocate for what we need. And it's something that, you know, we need to learn. So yeah, hopefully this episode is helpful for you too. Soulmate, let's take a moment to talk about this season's sponsor, Picaluna Beautiful Funerals. Did you know that 70% of deaths are actually expected deaths?
I did not know that.
Not ours.
Yeah, as a sudden deathy, I did not know that. You know what though? I think even when a death is anticipated, people can be so consumed by caring for their loved ones and just trying to cope with getting through it and coping with their grief that sometimes all of the obvious details, they might get overlooked. You know, like things like organizing a will or planning what kind of burial or cremation your person wants. And I think that was certainly the case for us both, right? I mean, we didn't really know that our mums were going to die, but I think, you know, we were just thrown into planning the funeral and it just ended up being quite fairly stock standard, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing is, for many of us, this probably isn't the only time we're going to have to plan a funeral, which I hate to say, but it's the truth. So when you think about whether the death is anticipated or sudden, planning either way makes sense, right?
Oh, I hate the fact that we probably are going to have to plan another funeral.
I mean, I didn't plan the first one. My sister did it all, but
oh,
yeah.
You got it all to come, babes.
Love that for us.
But yes, you are so right. I think it just makes sense to be prepared. And I think that's why what Piccoluna is doing is so important, because not only are they changing the way that funerals are done for the better, they're offering genuine, personalised funerals that are way more compassionate, way more straightforward, which I'm absolutely here for, and importantly, more affordable. You know, they're really helping family, friends and the community to honour, mourn, celebrate, heal and rejuvenate.
Love that. And along the way, the team at Piccoluna realised that the people who understood best how to create meaningful and healing funeral ceremonies are actually funeral celebrants. And that's why they place their tailor-made funeral planning into the hands of those already comfortable in the space, which I think is really important.
Makes total sense, right?
Yeah.
So I think whether you're caring for somebody at end of life or like us, you just know how hard planning a funeral is, especially when you're deep in grief. Understanding that you do have options is kind of fundamental. And Piccoluna's funeral directors, they can really help you explore your options and share meaningful guidance for people when they need it the most, which I bloody love.
If you're wanting to take control of how to say goodbye to the people you love, or maybe you're interested in making a difference for the better by becoming a Piccoluna funeral director or celebrant, head to piccoluna.com today. Back to the show. Sal, tell us, because we had very different experiences, even though we both experienced the sudden death of our mums. What was your experience with returning to work, or even the anticipation leading up to it? How did you feel?
So my experience was positive. I guess this comes down to the grieving styles that we talk mm-hmm. about. So I had 2 months off, and as regular listeners will know, I really had to take charge of the Debmin with my mum's estate and really lent into, I guess, my project management skills to sort all of that out. And that was kind of a coping mechanism for me and a way to channel my grief. But then there were really tough days. And when I got back to Australia, I had a month off, and that was when I was really, you know, on the sofa, grief bombs, grief sessions, just low energy. But I went back to work after 2 months. My boss was great. My career was in PR. It's very much one of those jobs where the emails are like constant. There's always so much to do. It can be quite overwhelming. There's lots of deadlines. You know, it's fast paced. So my boss took me off emails immediately. Client emails, team emails. She told the team what had happened, but told them not to contact me for a couple of days because I'd be overwhelmed trying to get my head around everything. And the team members did reach out, but it was when I kind of had like a couple of days to kind of let everything sink in.
Except old mate, it took a few months.
But yeah.
She missed the memo. Yeah.
She was off that day. Yeah. And she was, yeah, really, really supportive. They gave me 2 months off paid. And they didn't have to do that. And I really, really appreciated their support. And I actually freaked myself out when I went back because I was firing on all cylinders and I was doing okay. I was managing projects. We had quite a few big events coming up that I was managing. Mm. And I was absolutely just smashing it, rocking up to client meetings and presenting myself and doing okay.
Mm.
And I felt like there was something wrong with me because I was really aware that I wasn't struggling as much as I was at home.
In hindsight now, do you think this was you on autopilot?
I think it was a way for me to process my grief. It was a distraction. Yeah. It provided some structure. It was maybe some relief because when I got home in the evenings, I would, you know, lie there crying, you know, the silent tears that come when you're watching TV and something triggers you.
Yeah.
You know, the grief bombs, the grief sessions, that was all happening for me. It wasn't that I wasn't experiencing those things. Mm. It's just at work.
9 to 5, you were...
9 to 5, I was like
thriving.
Popping off. Yeah. I was doing fine. And I think I judged myself because this is before I knew about grief, really. And I knew about the grieving styles. Mm. It was before we met. So I was thinking, like, well, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I doing okay? I think I even surprised my colleagues, you know. But I think it was a place for me to be productive and to channel my energy and to have a break from my grief. Like, we talk about the dual process model, don't we? And the fact that, you know, you need to oscillate between restorative and active grieving.
Yeah.
And so maybe that was me having a break. But knowing, it was still hard.
Knowing you for so long, I know your personality, you very much like throw yourselves into things. You like to keep busy. I'm just going to like psychoanalyze you here and put you on the hot seat. Love this, that we're in the same room. I can do this. Do you feel like now, because I know a big part of your journey has been like learning to rest and listening to your body and your needs. Do you feel like you weren't giving yourself the adequate self-care that you needed back then? Because I feel like you did get to a point where you burnt out, didn't you?
I think I could have been better at the self-care. Yeah. But when I look back on that time, I remember like the weekends, I would just be on the sofa, just can't exhausted. Move. So probably I could have balanced things out a little bit more for sure. Yeah. But then in PR and in that role, like there's a line in Nora McInerney. Is that how you say her name?
Yes, I feel you like got it right.
McInerney.
Do you know what, before you go any further, she's cancelling Terrible Thanks for Asking.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw a post this morning. It's over.
Oh.
I know.
Oh,
sad.
That's a shame.
I know.
She's
anyway,
been
digress.
Doing that for years. Yeah. By the way, this is what whenever Im and I try and have a meeting talking of work, it literally ends up just being like this. Like,
what are we talking about again? No, yes. So
me and burnout and PR. And no, oh, Nora. So she used to work in PR and she said that PR in one of her books, I remember reading a line that said PR is the only career where the urgency is akin to that of a heart surgeon.
Wow.
And I'm like, that is so true. And anyone who is listening to this who works in PR, you will know what I mean. So anyway, I think working in PR, it was quite difficult to kind of maybe have that balance because it is so full on, but I definitely probably could have implemented some more self-care. But I think it is just my style.
Yeah.
And I find I get a lot of energy from work, although not so much now. I think as I get older, I keep saying I'm in my lazy girl era at the moment.
I love
this. I'm like finding it hard to like really push myself. And I'm welcoming that in. I am so here for it. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's all right actually to not constantly push yourself to do more.
It's been a big learning for you.
It has, yeah.
Something that hasn't been easy.
No. Anyway, this episode isn't about me.
It's not called lazy girl era. But learning to rest is important.
If
you can relate to Sal, because we also had put it out there, I think there's more Team Sal than there are Team Im, which were you're not so highly functioning creepers. But I feel like since my story's come out, perhaps people will understand more now why I could not do anything. You know, I was in the deep investigation mode. I had a new mum. I had a new mum, guys.
Is that the next revelation?
Part two. Im gets new mum. No, joking. I was a new mum. I didn't get a new mum, unfortunately. That's not how it works.
Yeah, but the thing is, you say that you didn't do anything, right? But you were flipping investigating.
But this is the thing, I could never say what I was doing. So you used to just have to say I couldn't do anything because I couldn't talk about what I was doing.
But you couldn't, you didn't feel, just before we go into the responses from our community, your experience with work was different to mine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Give us some context.
Okay. Like, well, yeah, now I can give you full context. Because this is a thing I've struggled to share my full honest experiences because I couldn't talk about what had actually happened to me for so long. But now if you have listened to our first episode back, you will know the backstory. So my experience with work was I used to work in television production. So like Sal, it was very fast paced. We didn't have to be as organized because everything was like last minute on TV because things change all the time and you have to be prepared for that. So I thrived in like really fast paced, ever changing environments. And I would sometimes be working 16-hour days, and then, yeah, I was climbing the ladder and I was on my way to being a producer, which was my goal. And I was about to go into the jungle on I'm a Celebrity, and right before they booked my flights, I found out I was pregnant, and everything changed from there. And I obviously couldn't go on the jungle because they've got malaria, so I had to say no to that job. And yeah, I ended up having Layla, my baby. And then when she was 9 months old, I was still on maternity leave. Then my mum died. And then all of that stuff unfolded after that. So it was like, if you've listened to my episode, it was a very horrific time uncovering all of this deception that had been in my family for nearly 2 decades. So I was not in any position to be like, all right, I'm just going to go back to making reality TV now, because my life was not reality. Like, it was,
well,
like,
your life was reality TV.
My life was worse than reality TV. It was a whole different genre. So yeah, I just couldn't. So when I used to say I was on the floor howling, I couldn't think straight, I couldn't even imagine going back to work. No, I couldn't. But at the same time, I was throwing all of those skills into the investigation that was going on, searching for answers. Also threw my skills into Good Morning, which I started 6 months into all of this unfolding, which we look back now, we're like, sorry, how the fuck did you do that? I don't know.
But I think that was you channeling like that energy and like that kept you going, and that was a place for you to channel the positives.
Yes.
For energy that you had towards your mom and her legacy, right?
Yeah. But I will add, the trauma as well can really impact you mentally, physically, emotionally. Like, it was a very traumatic loss. And even now, years later, like, I've done a lot of work on my trauma, a lot of somatic work, but I have to be really careful about my energy reserves. Like, one Zoom call and I can feel it. Like, I can't think straight. My head starts to hurt. So like the effects of this happening to me are still there. And if you're in an office environment and you don't have that time where you can go and do like a 10-minute breathwork session on the floor, don't recommend that in the office. But you can do active, like, practice breathing at your desk and things like that, which are really important. Yeah. But if you don't have that outlet or that space, it's really fucking hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. And it is the dissociation that can come from trauma.
Anxiety, panic attacks.
Yeah. And some things that can help if you are experiencing traumatic loss or, you know, just grief in general at work, is box breathing. Mm-hmm. Can be really helpful, can't it? Just to regulate yourself and bring yourself back into your body, and also counting things. So maybe it's counting all the orange things that you can see, or some mindfulness techniques, like thinking about what you can smell, what you can see, what you can hear, what you can touch. Things like that can be really grounding if you are feeling overwhelmed, and they're very quick and you can do them at your desk without people noticing, right?
Another one of our favorites that Megan Reardon Jarvis, aka MRJ, shared with us in our Grief in the Body workshop, which you can actually purchase the replay now on our website, which is really exciting. If you missed the workshop, you can go and find it on our website in the shop. But she taught us about doing crossbody punches. So it's all about energy. So when you are feeling like that energy is getting too much in your body, or you're feeling really anxious and overwhelmed, doing some cross body punches can actually help, because it crosses over the meridian line, which runs down our body and helps to center you. So it's amazing to do. So you literally just do like some, I'm doing them now, you can't see me, but like cross body punches, and it's amazing. And Sal and I didn't actually realize this, but before MRJ even told us about this exercise, we used to do this before we did podcast recordings.
Oh, should we do what we do? Should we do it now?
Okay, we used to punch the air and go like, grief, 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 to try and pump us up for podcast recordings, because our energy would be really flat. We'd be feeling, back in the day when we felt we didn't have a huge amount of experience, we felt really anxious and overwhelmed going into like big interviews with well-known people. So that is a little trick that we used to do. So Maybe don't do it at your desk, but you can definitely go into the bathroom and do that, or into your car, or somewhere where people can't see you punching the air. But it's really helpful.
It is. And we've been teaching this at our grief workshops that we've been doing at organisations lately, haven't we? So we've been doing some grief education workshops for businesses, organisations, companies. And it's really great to see people engaging in wanting to know how to be better at supporting people who are grieving in the workplace. So if you're listening and you're based in Australia and you think that your employer might be keen to get us in to chat about grief, then hit us up and maybe just share this episode with your boss or your HR department as well.
Just slip it in their inbox.
Yeah, be like, look, you need to listen to this, mate.
Yeah.
And before we go, guys, a couple of things. We've got signed copies of our book on the website now. So if you want to buy our book, get involved there. And also, so many of you say that you wish that you had extra support, not only in the workplace, but just generally. Loneliness and grief is a massive thing. So we're going to be launching the Good Morning Club very soon. It's a special membership where you can have peer support and meet people going through a similar experience to you. So check out the waitlist link in our show notes. Sign up.
And TMGC is on its way.
Yes. Very excited.
Pumped for this.
It's going to be so good. I think it's just what people need as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have gone on for far too long. Let's get into some of our community messages about coping with grief at work.
Hi, I was calling about to leave a message about grief at work. My mom was staying with us for about 6 months under hospice care prior to her passing. And I work in a retail store, and soon after she passed, her hospice nurse came into the store, and of course, this was quite a surprise, and I burst into tears and had to go in the back room. And when I finally collected myself, I went and spoke to the woman she had been so kind to my mom, and they had many discussions and talks. And I've seen her in the store since then, and it's been fine. But that first time, man, that was really hard. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.
Transitioning back to work after my son died was scary, caused me a lot of anxiety just because I didn't know how I was going to interact with my coworkers, and I knew they were going to feel the same about me. So what I did before I returned to work was I sent an email to all of them. I wanted to genuinely thank them for all they did during that horrible time immediately after his death, from both a personal and professional place, but to also let them know that I knew they were going to feel uncertain and uncomfortable, but that I was going to feel the same as well. I wanted to encourage them to never feel bad about mentioning Stephen's name or asking me questions or talking to me about it. I told them there may be days that I would smile and days that I would cry, but that I would do my best to communicate my needs and to ask for help when I needed it. I got a lot of feedback from them all that the email was so helpful and appreciated. And in the long run, it really helped the transition back. And I am very grateful that I did it.
When I went back to work after my baby died, I had a really lovely male colleague sit down next to me. I had been on maternity leave and my son died when he was 10 months old, which is pretty shocking all around. And he sat me down, literally pulled his chair over to my chair and just said, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Do you want me to talk about Seb? How do you want me to act? You tell me and I'll do it." And just the fact that he was willing to listen and to learn and to say Seb's name is always so important was just really special to me.
When I found out that my mom was sick with cancer and that it was stage 4, I immediately turned into my grief and I really couldn't function anymore. And I think it's really important to be able to acknowledge that and not beat yourself up about that and to take care of yourself. And I wasn't able to work when I found out my mom had cancer. I couldn't concentrate. I was new to my job. The people around me didn't know why I was acting so quiet and standoffish. And so thankfully, I was in a position that I was able to take time off work and focus on my mom and spend time with her while she was sick. And then when she passed away, I was able to take some more time off. And so I didn't work for about maybe 6 or 7 months. And I have always felt so guilty about that because I felt like I should have been able to be strong enough. My sisters were able to work. Why was I so weak? But it's what I needed. And I reflect back on that and I'm proud of myself for making that decision. And I'm also thankful that I was able to make that decision, but I wasn't able to work and that's fine. And I'm proud of myself now.
When my dad died, I couldn't face the world, never mind work. I went back for one shift at Shoe and the first song that played on the radio when I clocked in was his funeral song. Call it a sign from him, but I quit later that day. I just couldn't face burying people and acting like I was fine when my dad had literally just died a few weeks earlier. I quit my job and 5 months later got a new one in a call centre. I felt like I couldn't escape it. Every time someone called, it felt like they were telling me about their loved ones that had passed away. However, even though I struggled while working, it did give me a sense of routine, which definitely helped me to feel a little bit normal again. Although I would say that I don't think that there's enough space for things like grief in the workplace, and I couldn't help it. I felt like I was being punished for grieving, and I just needed more time out than other members of staff, and the place that I worked at couldn't accommodate that for me. I felt like I had meeting after meeting, and eventually I went on the sick, and then later on ended up quitting again. I've been self-employed ever since, and I do appreciate that obviously not everybody can do that, but it definitely has been the right thing for me. I think being honest with your managers in the workplace is definitely important, and hopefully people will be able to get some more accommodation than I did during my time at work in the call centre. But ultimately, I think that big companies don't really have enough time for people to be struggling with things and not doing the job, obviously, as much as other people can. But they need to take into consideration that grief is a massive thing and it impacts you every single day.
Hi, ladies. My dad died really suddenly, just over a year ago now. And I would say just try and be open about it. Because you'll soon find that there are people all around you who have been there too. Somebody across the hall from me lost her mum in her early 20s. The receptionist lost her partner as a young mum. And somebody in the office downstairs lost her son, just as a few examples. Not only can they empathise with you, it also really helped me to accept that death is a part of life. And that everywhere you go, you'll find people who are grieving for a loved one who know what you're going through. I also formed a really close bond with somebody in the same office as me who was quite a few years down the road with their grief and was able to be my personal therapist, if you like. I didn't feel ready to start being open with the wider office until fairly recently, but it has really helped.
If you're at work and you have a grief trigger moment, it can be really helpful to utilize mindfulness. Look around and find 5 things that you can either see, smell, touch, feel. 5 things that maybe you would have never noticed. Maybe the color of the wall next to you. Maybe if you go outside and you notice a tree that wasn't there. And also, when you're at work and you have a grief trigger, it can be really beneficial to have a supervisor, a coworker, or some type of support system, whether it's one person or a couple people, who you feel comfortable and who know about your situation. So you don't have to re-explain everything. You can just go to them, let them know how you're feeling, and they can just listen. And it can be really beneficial for grief triggers.
Take as much time off as you need from work. Do not feel pressure to go back. You need time to heal, and hopefully you'll have a boss that understands. I know I certainly did, which I was really lucky with.
Grief at work can be really tricky sometimes. You've just had a life explosion of change. You've lost somebody that you love. And going back to trying to be present in your work is challenging when the day-to-day can seem very minor in comparison to what you're dealing with. I lost my dad quite young. I was early 30s. I didn't know many people who were in the same situation. So the grief process was really interesting to me and something that I really tried to navigate through with a lot of research and things like this podcast. I work in a really supportive environment. I am so thankful in that sense. However, when you're in the thick of grief, it can be really hard to articulate yourself. So I started using the term griefy. So if somebody asked me how I was or noticed I was having a bit of a down day, I would just let them know that I was feeling a bit griefy. And that was enough for them to understand that it might mean a slower day of getting things done that day, or maybe I needed some time to myself just to navigate through my grief. I know that not everybody has a supportive workplace, but if you can figure out a way to articulate yourself without having to go into the thick of the detail, I find that's really, really helpful when you're trying to move through your day to day.
Grief at work is such a challenging topic, especially when you are in a position of leadership. I lost my mom in early June, started a new position in early July, and was dealing with copious amounts of grief while also dealing with being a new leader in a building. And I think the hardest part about this was not only was I having to almost suppress my grief to get through the challenges of this new position, but also I was taking on the grief of my workers, my coworkers, and in fact, my employees, because I was in this leadership position. So it was almost as though my grief had multiplied. And it really took time to kind of separate the two and learn how to deal with my grief while also learning how to lead and manage my employees' grief in two separate entities and tell myself that it was okay for my grief to still be there through all of this.
Hi, everybody. I was actually working as a flight attendant internationally at the time of my mom's death. And it might sound crazy, but work for me was actually a kind of a good escape. It was easier for me to deal with a jumbo jet full of strangers or talk to strangers at Oktoberfest than it was a one-on-one conversation with people who knew my story and where I might get triggered. Anyway, so I was kind of grateful for work and for, getting to go back to work and having a little pause from the deep pain of the sorrow. Okay, everybody, I hope you're doing okay and super thankful for Sal and Em.
Grief bombs at work can be intense and hard to navigate while trying to remain professional and not burdening fellow employees. I found having a safety net person, someone who knows your whole story and potential triggers, helps massively. I found that I would tap out even just for a breakdown in the bathroom via them. And upon my return, people knew not to ask anything about what happened. People can be really nosy, especially when you come back fully red and tears running down your face still. I highly recommend a safety net person in the workplace for those times you get whacked by the grief bombs unexpectedly.
Hi, Sal and Em. Some things that I wish that I would have known when I went back to work after my mother passed is that, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. That really kind of trust your gut instincts of what feels right and what doesn't. And some things that helped me was, you know, being fully transparent with my manager of what my capabilities were at that time. And I still do this. And, you know, really trying to lighten my workload when I know things are going to be stressful, like going into the holiday season, you know, just making sure that I'm taking into the account the extra stress and making sure that I'm not having extra stress at work as well. Also planning ahead and taking off on, you know, emotionally heavy days like anniversaries of her death, her birthday, my birthday, you know, and just giving myself space and time and some grace on those days and not feeling like you have to be a top performer at this time, because it's also easy to throw yourself into work and, you know, become a little, try to avoid it. So I hope this helps.
I lost my son due to a premature birth. And when I returned to work, my boss at the time said she was glad I was gone for so long because she had made some changes to my role that I didn't agree with. On the very same day, I was expected to complete a professional development course on childhood, specifically looking at pregnancy and how development was impacted by birth.
Hi guys. So I lost both of my parents within 4 years of each other. Both of them I found out at work that they'd passed suddenly, and had two very, very different experiences. So I lost my dad a couple of years ago, and when he died, I got given the mandatory 5 days off and then had to go back into work. And my manager actually won an award, and part of the reason she was told that she'd won the award was for helping me through the loss of my dad. All she had done had given me the 5 days, and this was told in front of about 300 people, and I was stood right near the front and had all of these eyes on me, and I'd just come back from my dad's funeral the week before, so that was a really difficult time. Whereas in a complete contrast, I lost my mum a couple of weeks ago, and my work have been absolutely incredible, giving me all the time I need. My mum's actually not having a proper funeral, so they've given me compassionate leave despite that, so I can have almost my own funeral grieving period despite not having one to go to. So yeah, I think it really just shows how different businesses can be and people can be during those difficult times.
Hi ladies, my name is Sandra Martino and I want to share a message of hope for everyone grieving. What helped me when I was grieving the loss of my mom, I lost my mom at the age of 15 and I am 27 now, and my message is to tell yourself one more day. Maybe tomorrow will be different, to keep moving forward because you are closer than you think.
I love that one. One more day is a great mantra. Go micro and just focus on the small steps ahead. Thank you so much to everyone who has sent in their voice notes. We absolutely love hearing from this community, and I'm sure it's super helpful for other people listening who could relate to your experiences too.
Share away, share with your boss, share with your team members, and ultimately just know that you are not alone in this. And hopefully there's something from this conversation that you've taken away that will help you when you're feeling griefy at work. So lots of love, guys. Hope it's been helpful, and we'll see you next time.
Grief, 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 grief.